This is the Green Zone.
Oh, my! He is the baddest man in the NFL!
This is the Green Zone with Dave Ross and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here in the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM, Wes Reynolds, Dave Ross. Carrying you through the afternoon wave of games, and we're seeing the Raiders right now trying to take the lead against the Fighting Fish, 14-12 right now, about 8 minutes to go in that third quarter. That drive might be stalling. We'll get some updates there. Earlier in the day, in the early wave of action, the Chiefs not only lost the game, potentially a scary situation after the game, Wes. What do you have for us on that?
Yeah, and Andy Reid was taken, Chiefs head coach, was taken by ambulance to a local hospital following the game. Said he was in good spirits, just precautionary, but it was Dave Taub, the longtime special teams coordinator for the Chiefs, that did the post-game presser. So just to kind of put that out there, I believe James Palmer of the NFL Network had this first, the Chiefs correspondent. So Andy Reid was taken to a hospital, seemingly okay, no update to the negative or to the contrary here, but just to kind of put a capper, we were talking about the Chiefs and a rough start here, and not only on but off the field, 1-2 to start the season.
We hope Coach Reid is just going to be okay and get back there, be fine, Coach, be healthy. It's always good to see you on the sidelines. Boy, if there's one coach you don't think that looks stressed, it's Andy Reid. He always seems like a jovial sort, so we're hoping he's going to be back out there for the Chiefs. But again, rough start, 1-2. That division getting very interesting. If the Raiders were able to complete this comeback, it's about midway through the third quarter, but let's go back out to Amber Dixon, because Amber, who is live for us out at South Point Studios, Amber, it looks like they've really turned this whole game around, and it looks like they might have just got in to take the lead.
Ooh, right now I see that they're on 3rd and 9 from Miami 12, and Derek Carr hits Hunter Renfrow, and yes, he is into the end zone for the 6 points, so Raiders on top now. It is going to be 18-14, and then we've got the extra point coming. So, yeah, starting to turn things around. I also wanted to let you know that one of the prop bets did cash over, and that was for Henry Ruggs receiving yards. It was only 39.5 for the entire game, but 62 yards receiving so far.
Well, we know he has the speed. Now he's got the hands to go along with it, because he was kind of just dismissed a little bit. It's like, oh, he's just a speed guy. He's a guy who can run really fast, but he's made a couple really incredible catches during this game. So now the Raiders, extra point, by the way, is good. 19-14, 8 minutes left to go in the third quarter. Raiders now -5.5, 49.5 at BetMGM.
19 unanswered for the silver and black. And again, and Wes, you've really done a good job too, and Amber as well, really reading between the lines of this game. This actually has been a game dominated by the Raiders, but they fell behind 14-0. You thought, oh, here they go, the old Raiders are back. No, this is the point, and this is why this is my heart play today. Just win, baby. If you get this win today and you go to 3-0, now they're up 5 here in the third quarter, midway through, we'll see if they can hold on to it. But it changes the whole complexion of how you view the Raiders going forward in the AFC West, because the Chiefs are 1-2. Chargers look good right now at 2-1. Broncos right now potentially going to go to 3-0. They're up 20-0. We'll check in with Eric Edholm here in a little bit. But they're just sitting all over the Jets here, 20-0, midway through the third quarter. This division could be wild in the AFC West.
Yeah, absolutely. Not going to be a cakewalk for the Kansas City Chiefs. And now the Dolphins, if they want to stay in the game, they have not had a drive really going up and down the field. So now with no time like the present if you're a Dolphins backer.
Let's go back out to Eric Edholm watching the Jets and the Broncos. And Eric, again, sorry, you're watching the Jets play some really bad football. But conversely, Vic Fangio in this defense, is this a product of the teams they've played early in the year? Are we buying in that this is an elite level unit?
Yeah, I'm watching it so you guys don't have to at home. You can thank me later for that. 67 yards for the Jets, 6 first downs. You know, they start moving a little bit on this drive. Zach Wilson takes a sack, then Michael Carter hit with a 7-yard loss. It's been kind of the story of the day. So, you know, I want to say this is a young Jets offense that's still finding its way, but we've got to give credit to Vic Fangio and the defense. I think coming into the year, most people I spoke to around the league had a high level of appreciation for the talent that Denver had put together. The big question was quarterback, right? Was it Drew Locke? Was it Teddy Bridgewater? Teddy has stepped in and done a pretty nice job. They added a field goal in the opening drive of the second half. Excuse me. It is now 20-0. Jets trying to put something together right now. Wilson just hit a pass, but again, it's going to be 3rd and long. Feels like they've been swimming upstream all day, guys. Still yet to hit the 100-yard mark offensively. Just under 7 minutes remaining in the third quarter. A lot of work to do. But if you bet Denver, you're going to be catching some points. -22.5, and the assumption is, you know, I don't know how much more they can put up. Jets have tightened up a little bit, at least.
Zach Wilson, by the way, has been sacked 4 times already, just kind of running for his life here. So it's not getting any better. And we know Vic Fangio, longtime defensive coordinator, now head coach in Denver. He's tough on rookie quarterbacks, and he's being tough on another one this afternoon.
Eric, if you are still there, to that end, Wes, because I look at Vic Fangio in a macro sense here, Eric, and you kind of felt like, oh, he's the old guy coming in from Chicago, and you're kind of waiting for him to get fired. Right? Well, he's not going anywhere. And to your point about finding his quarterback and building a defense there, rebuilding a defense, it's good when you have Von Miller to start that rebuilding process, right? But what type of job do you think he's doing with this football team? Again, we assume they're going to go to 3-0 today. And I know people will look at the schedule and say it's just because of who they've played. Is he really building something here? And I know a lot of people thought he was just going to be the guy until they get to the next guy.
Yeah, he certainly found himself pretty high on those lists in the offseason, first head coach to get fired or you know, possibly to get fired at the end of the season, that sort of thing. And they've done a great job to this point. They've scored 20 or more points in every single game so far. They've only allowed 26 points in parts of 3 games to this point. But we're going to find out a lot more about this team over the next month or so, guys. They've got 3 divisional games in the next 4, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, mixed in with a Raiders game in there, and then Cleveland as well. 2 of those 4 on the road as well. So the schedule kind of takes a little bit of a right turn here, and we'll see if this is the 3-0 Broncos or if they come down to earth a little bit here.
All right, let's keep an eye on them. But so far, looking really good in the Mile High City today, up 20-0. I know we're going to get Frank Hanrahan back on the line here because we just had a, you know, DeSean Jackson still can run. Mm-hmm. He still has speed.
And I was just about to say that. I was like, he can still get open down the field.
Right, and he just did. And again, Matty Stafford missed him in the first half. Frank, he did not miss him here to open up the third quarter.
No, a big touchdown reception to start things off. Stafford to DeSean Jackson. Now 27 advantage L.A. Rams. And DeSean's still doing that, you know, 2 or 3 yards out from the end zone. He still likes to bait the defenders. Why? Just the end zone, friend. But, yeah, big throw. And we talked about Stafford heating up late in the second quarter. And that was a big throw, big catch. Not exactly sure how many yards, but it was long. It was a long reception as DeSean Jackson breaks loose. I mean, when Stafford did that little hitch, you knew that he was going to try to go long, and he found Jackson wide open. So the Rams now with a 2-score lead, and said the points are starting to come as Stafford is looking awfully sharp.
75 yards, by the way, on that touchdown now. Rams 21-7, -8.5 at BetMGM. And we talked about the total. Are the points going to come now? 55.5. That's basically kind of around where it closed for the full game.
And then again, and to Frank's point and Wes, to your point, it was Zippo after one. You thought, all right, the over is dead in the water. But that's why we kept telling you this is where in-game betting, you can make some money there if you're really astute. And the observation was by Frank, not running the ball. They're going to air it out. Tom Brady's not done for the day here, kids. So 21-7 right now, that over pre-flop, if you had it, You might have to sweat it out a little bit, but that thing certainly is in play right now. And certainly if you got it in-game, you're feeling pretty good about that as you expect the Buccaneers to try to match score for score here. Matty Stafford getting it on the board here 1 minute into the third quarter. It just like that, bam, 21-7 Rams.
Yeah, absolutely. So Tampa Bay up against it a little bit here, and the Rams were just a 1.5. And actually, the Rams were quite popular in the contest, yep, which kind of surprised me. I thought Tampa Bay, Super Bowl champion, just laying 1.5 on the road, but they didn't take the bait. And so far, rightfully so, Rams 21-7 just a minute into the second half.
The Dolphins now have just, I believe, crossed midfield against the Raiders, 2nd and 10 there, about 6 minutes ago. This has been a wild game just from the terms of in-game betting. Because, again, Miami, they're catching 3.5 in most books here. That's where it closed here at BetMGM. And it looked great. You're up 14-0 before you could bat an eye. And then all of a sudden, the Raiders with 19 unanswered points here. The Dolphins trying to get their offense
the
going.
Raiders do what they do, though, and that's getting a penalty at an inopportune time there. It was 3rd and 8. It was a 7-yard pass, Brissett to Waddle, but Perryman gets an unnecessary roughness penalty, so that continues to drive for Miami, but now Miami yet faces another 3rd down. Just have not really been able to get consistency on offense. Only 4.2 yards a play, so now another 3rd and medium for the Dolphins.
Okay, right now, Rams 11-1 to win the Super Bowl. with the way things are going right now, Wes, would you advise people that if you're a Rams supporter, this is probably the best number you might get?
It probably is, and I'm on a better number. I did take 14, not that much better in the summer. But look, this was a Rams team I was buying into. I think Sean McVay has learned. Everybody remembers that Super Bowl where kind of the hoodie got the better of him, but he gets the better out of pretty much everybody almost in the Super Bowl. So, you know, I thought the Rams, they're going for it right now. Getting Matthew Stafford, this is we're trying to win right now or next year, not 3 to 5 years from now. We're going for it right now. So, yeah, the Rams were the team. The Rams and the Bills were my Super Bowl pick to start the season.
I like your Super Bowl picks. And again, at 11-1, we don't know if this lead's going to hold. But if it does hold, I assume those numbers come down. So, again, in-game right now, you can still get it 11-1 right now for the LA Rams. They have a 21-7 lead on the defending.
Gotta think that's going to be about 8-1 if this result holds.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if it's an impressive fashion right now, up 14 points. The Vikings right now, about 10 minutes ago in the third quarter, holding on to a 4-point lead over Seattle. They have the ball right now with KC8. And it looks like the Raiders did hold. So the Dolphins doing absolutely nothing offensively here. As you mentioned, that first down was aided by a penalty.
Yep.
They're going to have to punt it back to the silver and black. So the Raiders feel like they're taking command of this football game, 19-14 right now with about 5 minutes to go. Next hour, we're going to have the good doctor, Terrell Julian's going to join us. A lot of injuries around the National Football League. We'll get that update. But when you come back with us, more scores and updates. Come on back. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN is now available 24/7 on the YouTube TV Sports Plus package. Sign up today at tv.youtube.com to start your free trial. Remember, you can also watch us 24/7 on Fubo TV, Sling, and Xfinity X1. Visit VSiN.com to find all the ways to watch and listen to VSiN. Wes Reynolds, Dave Ross, it is the Green Zone, and we got some points on the board in Minnesota. It's a field goal now, but boy, this game is really flipped. It was 17-7 Seattle. And all of a sudden now, 17 unanswered for the Purple guys, 24-17.
Before we go to tank on that game, by the way, I'm looking up at the Bucks and the Rams. Rob Gronkowski took a massive hit.
Oh,
he
boy.
Is still down on the field, so still trying to get that update. He is being attended to. That has now gone to commercial break, so we'll get you updated on that when we get the particulars. Looks like he got hit right in the ribs.
And by the way, led the league in touchdowns with 4 receiving touchdowns coming into week 3 here. So before people think, oh, it's not that big a deal, Gronk has been a very valuable and a key cog.
Yes,
to that
I know we got on him for the drop earlier. We mentioned it, not really getting on him, and then, of course, having to block Aaron Donald, but that's just a mismatch. Boy. That's not his fault, but we'll see when we come back how the injury is to Gronk, but he was down on the field right before they went to break.
Did not look good. That was a shot to the ribs there. Right now, let's go back out to Tank Williams watching the Seahawks and Vikings game. And as I mentioned, Tank, this game is really flipped here. Russ was cooking early, but here comes KC8, and that offense right now, they really got it humming against that Seattle D.
I mean, it's really funny because if you look at the way that the momentum has changed in this game, it kind of reminds you of last week where Seattle gets out to this fast start, but now Minnesota's like slowly grinding back. And what you can see is that Zimmer is still leaning on the run game. It's similar to like Mike Vrabel last week saying that we were down, you know, a couple of touchdowns. We're going to lean on King Henry and try to get back in this game. But in this standpoint, Kirk Cousins and those guys are up, and they're saying, hey, Alexander Mattison has been good in the run game. We're going to continue to feed him, use the play-action pass, and they've been successful with it. And I would say that even though they would have liked to come away with 7, they have to feel pretty good about the kicker being able to go ahead and nail one at this point in the game because they're going to probably have to lean on them here later. And so, you know, hey, get some of that confidence. So if it comes down in crunch time, hopefully they can get a game-winning field goal or maybe even not come to that point.
Well, Tank, to your point about the running game with Mike Zimmer there, how impressed are you that without Dalvin Cook, they didn't abandon the run? To your point, Tennessee didn't do it a week ago with King Henry. It paid dividends. They came back, got that overtime win. To be able to do this without arguably, you know, a top three running back, we could say, in the NFL in Dalvin Cook, how impressed are you that they stuck to the formula and so far it's working?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, Alexander Mattison, he isn't Dalvin Cook. But at the same time, he's no slouch either. Like, I mean, if you understand the kind of running that Derrick Henry is, I mean, he's definitely fast, but he's not, like, quick and jittery like a Dalvin Cook. Yet he was still able to find some success in the run game. And Minnesota, I mean, they have some really good, you know, run techniques that they've been able to establish over the years and that they're very successful with that. So Alexander Mattison knows how to find the lanes. I mean, he's shown great vision throughout this early part of the game, and the line has done a really good job of opening up holes for him. And I believe what also helps them too is that play action pass game. I mean, the tight ends have been effective, so the linebackers can't really suck in on the run like that. I believe everything is working in Minnesota's favor offensively, at least early right now. They just have to be able to put it together and put it in the end zone and score touchdowns, because we know it's only a matter of time before Russ and those guys begin to heat up. Like, I feel like the first couple games of this season were Tyler Lockett games. The way this one was trending early on, it looked like it was going to be a DK Metcalf game. I wouldn't be surprised to see him have a big play coming up on this drive.
And right now, Minnesota 24-17, 7 minutes left to go in the third quarter. Vikings -3.5 plus $1.10, 61.5 the current in-game total. Vikings -$2 plus $160 for the Seahawks.
You know, you mentioned the injury to Rob Gronkowski. So what does Tom Terrific and the Buccaneers do? They go to the backup, Cameron Brate. They just had a screen, and they get down to, it looks like, about the 2-yard line. So again, boy, Frank Hanrahan's been all over it. We'll get Frank back up here in a second. But just the tone and tenor of this game, that you feel like once the points start, they're not going to stop. Gronkowski's going. He's headed right now, it looks like, into the tunnel and going back maybe for a look with the X-ray machine. But, Frank, it looks like the Bucs just responded as we expected Brady to do. No surprise by you, are you?
No. We expected this one to be a coin flip. And the Bucs, yeah, I think they just got on the board again. So now 21-13 as Tom Brady just sends them down on a nice drive to get them back within a touchdown, it looks like. And this is what we sort of expected. Two high-quality, top-tier quarterbacks. Obviously, Brady's up here. Stafford's trying to create a new legacy there in Los Angeles. He's looking very good, but Brady, obviously, never out of this. You know, the one thing that was crazy, guys, is the fact that the Bucs haven't lost since, like, last November. So this is a championship team. Obviously, they got the DNA. They're the Super Bowl champs. This will come down to the final possession. And as discussed, the 25 was there for a reason, and now the points have come after what that scoreless first quarter. So yeah, Tom Brady's looking good as he responds. They were down 2 touchdowns, but now only down 21-14.
Yeah, and to Frank's point, remember when this team was 7-5 last year? Yeah. And it's like, you know what, they're not bad, but they're kind of pedestrian. And then they win their last four games, and obviously starting a wild card weekend, win 4 in a row and end up winning the Super Bowl. So now 21-14. Rams still favorite, -4.5, 59.5, the current in-game total, -$2 on the Rams money line, plus $1.60 if you like Tampa Bay.
You know what really impressed me, obviously, in the Super Bowl win last year was that Tom Brady took, took three guys that were off the street out of the game of football. Rob Gronkowski was retired, Antonio Brown, all kinds of issues, and gets him to come down to Tampa Bay, and Leonard Fournette. Now, we know Antonio Brown didn't play today. We know Gronk is out. Right now, in this game, we'll find out if he can come back, but it looks like that's a dicey proposition at best. But then I saw Fournette out catching passes here on this touchdown drive to get back into this game at 21-14. Brady, and then Cameron Brate, he'll utilize whatever skill that you might have. And Fournette, you don't think of him out of the backfield, but he's actually been a pretty good weapon for Brady when he can hold on to the football.
Yeah, and also you do have a good offensive mind in Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich, the offensive coordinator. So, look, the system's been working, and Tom Brady, by the way, quarterback sneak for that touchdown. Where have we seen that before? Yeah. And why do more teams not run that quarterback sneak? I think teams get too cute when they do that, you know, shotgun snap, handoff, and, you know, everybody wants to do zone read. Sometimes you just get under center and you just drive it up the center's booty here and into the end zone.
You know, it's funny because I've always been anti-quarterback sneak. But your point is well taken. Brady is really good at it.
Yeah.
There are some quarterbacks that just aren't good at it.
Right.
Right. So depending on your guy is the way I look at the quarterback sneak. Because to me, I always think if it's for a first down, I always kind of like, you know, fullback lead or maybe a bigger guy to get that. But around the goal line, I think you're right. And Brady always has a hunch to get that
done. It's the easiest 1 yard in football, and he just knows what to do. And look, Tom Brady, not known as a runner, but he knows, you know, to use that big frame and knows where to go and just has such a good vision. And, you know, he's been doing it for forever.
He has been doing it forever. And again, I keep saying this in the MVP odds right now to win MVP. Brady is at plus 700 BetMGM. I love his opportunity here. Remember, Pat Mahomes, with what we saw today, was plus 600 coming in. Kyler Murray, now they got the win, and he was the favorite coming into today at plus 500. Matty Stafford is next on the board. So he's at 11-1. So you're looking at this head-to-head matchup between Brady and Stafford here. To me, if I were to bet any of these top favorites, it's Brady. It's still Tom Brady for me because, again, there's so many records he's going to set naturally just by where he is in his career, that I think if the Buccaneers make this comeback potentially, that's going to take away the Stafford MVP line. Because if you go to the end of the year, you go, well, well, Brady came back in L.A. and beat Matt Stafford. How can I give it to Stafford over Brady if the numbers are close?
Right, and to update those numbers, 5-1 on Kyler Murray, 7-1 on Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes 15-2, Josh Allen, don't forget about him, 9-1, Matthew Stafford 11-1, Aaron Rodgers 14-1, Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson at 16, and then everybody else 20 or above.
Derek Carr's 20-1.
25?
25-1! So again, we'll see if this lead holds. They're now in the fourth quarter, by the way, in Las Vegas here. 19-14, the Raiders with that lead.
Ever since they ran that screen to Waddle where they gave up that deuce on the
safety,
the
whole complexion.
It absolutely has changed the whole complexion of the game. And Miami just has done nothing ever since.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You look at last week with Miami getting shut out at home. And I know that's the Tua game where he gets hurt, right? And then you go to Jacoby Brissett and really nothing happens offensively. You get shut out 35-0. And then you go on the road this week, and let's be honest about that. They've had one drive. It was a 39-yard drive after John Gruden, for what inexplicably, chose to go for it on fourth down in his own end, down 7-0, and that led to the quick 14-0 lead by the Fighting Fish. There's been no fight with them offensively now for 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And now Kenyon Drake looks like he's going to be down at the 1 yard line here. Reached the ball over the line, but I think he's going to be ruled down. So Miami's going to have, or rather the Raiders are going to have first and goal here just into the fourth quarter, 14 minutes left to go, trying to go up two scores.
And again, 3.5, that number came down. It was 4, and it was bet to Miami side here to get that down to 3.5. Right now, boy, with the way that the Dolphins just can't move the ball offensively, you got to like the Raiders.
Well, here's what I'm surprised really right now, too. The Raiders' offensive line has held up. No Richie Incognito, no Denzel Good, and they're pushing Miami up and down the field.
Absolutely. That was a hard play. I wish I had made it a smart play, but it's looking like a smart play right now as the Raiders knocking on the door to increase that lead. Come on back. Scores and updates when you come back with us. It's the Green Zone on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This football season, your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Back here alongside Wes Reynolds, I am Dave Ross. It is the Green Zone, and we got scores galore to get to. Let's get right out to Amber Dixon over at South Point. And Amber, look, I don't make proclamations often, but I made a proclamation of 14-0 that the Raiders were going to come back and win this game. They're making me feel pretty smart right now. What's the latest? Because it looks like the Las Vegas Raiders are just taking over this contest.
You must be a fortune teller. Another Raiders touchdown, 25-14. The extra point was no good from Daniel Carlson. It was Peyton Barber from the 1 yard line up and over the pile into the end zone. He played a big part on that drive with a couple big runs, and then also Darren Waller with a nice catch for 23 yards. So the offense of the Raiders, it's rolling. We're into the fourth quarter. That third quarter flew by on the BetMGM app. The over-under for how many points would be scored in that quarter was 10.5. the Raiders were the only ones to get on the board in the third quarter with that touchdown, Hunter Renfrow. So the under hits in that one. Prop bets, Derek Carr passing yards. He is well over 274.5, 301 yards the last time I checked. And he now has two touchdown passes, and that hits the over as well.
All right, great stuff, Amber. We'll check back in with you, but it looks like the fish, I got about 13 right. minutes to try to get back in this thing down.
And that missed extra point could prove to be meaningful here because yes. now the Dolphins only have 31 yards in the second half. So it's like, do you trust them to go ahead and score here? But as Jacoby Brissett does complete it for a first down to Gesicki, but 25-14 right now. Remember, this closed 4 in the contest and in some shops around. -10.5 for the Raiders right now, -$1.20, 51.5 the in-game total.
Okay, so let's see. You're right. That extra point, if you had the Dolphins +3.5, could come into play if the Dolphins can muster up some offense here. They have not been able to do that so far, really, since the first quarter on. So
and down 11 in the fourth quarter, you would think that they would go for two.
That's exactly the thought yeah. process there. So maybe you're not dead if you got the fish +3.5. I do believe we're going to go back out to Tank. We're going to go out to Eric Edholm very quickly. I feel bad for Jets fans. Look, we're not trying to poo-poo on the Jets here, right? But every time we go out to Eric, it's normally not good news for the guys in
this
green.
Defense has actually showed some gumption here. They did hold to a field goal here, but not getting any better for the green slime.
Eric, what do you have for us?
Yeah, that's about it right there, fellas. Jets defense doing whatever it can. Like you said, just held them to a field goal, 23-0. Only people watching this one are Broncos fans, the in-game bettors, right? The pregame stuff seems pretty academic at this point. About 6.5 minutes to go. Jets trying to do anything they can. Last drive ended on a fourth down incompletion from Zach Wilson. Just the kind of day it's been. Broncos defense is a story, but Jets offense now stuck in neutral offensively. Can't get anything done. This one looks like it's going to go under and very much favoring the Broncos at this point.
And again, you notice Eric did not say that family members were watching this game.
Yeah, absolutely not. We do have a boat race alert, though, here. The second one of the day, 23-0. Jets trying to avoid that shutout. 121 yards for the Jets, 2.9. Now up to 3.3 because they just got a 20-yard play. So the offense is progressing here late, but it is 23-0. I believe BetMGM did still have live wagering now taking off with that big game. Broncos -22.5, so you're ahead by 23, but you got to lay 250 to do that. I don't recommend that. So now the Jets are in Broncos territory, but this game is all but over and pretty much over. So we do have a boat race alert in the Mile High. I don't know if there's a lot of boats really in the Rocky Mountains there, no, but there certainly is today.
I will say this, though. You literally got that hat from Judge Schmales off the Flying Wasp.
I did.
Great look.
Ross, get your foot off the boat.
I dubbed thee the Flying Wasp. Let's go back out to Frank Hanrahan. We said that points would happen. Remember, scoreless after one between the Rams and the Bucks in what we believe to be the game of the day. And then once the points started, here they come. And the always open like 7-Eleven Cooper Kupp did it again. Frank, what are you seeing from this Rams offense?
Hey, Matt Stafford, guys, looking pretty sharp. 75-yard touchdown throw to DeSean Jackson. That helps. And then he just hooked up with Cooper Kupp for a 10-yard touchdown. They've got a 28-14 lead midway through the third quarter. Let's see if the Bucs can rebound. They did it when they went down 21-7. But the defense of the Rams with Donald and company starting to put some pressure on Tom Brady. So this is a pivotal drive, I think, for the Bucs right now to see if they can stay within a fighter's punch, so to speak, with the Rams, whose offense, after that really slow start for both teams, has really revved it up. Stafford's got almost 300 yards throwing, and he's got 4 touchdown throws. So really good afternoon for Stafford and the Rams. This is a pick'em game, starting to create a little bit of space. The total was 55. It was there for a reason. Mm-hmm. It may go over, in fact, even after that scoreless first quarter.
61.5 now, by the way, the in-game total. Rams -10.5 plus a +105. And to Frank's point, Stafford 21-31, 298, 4 touchdowns, 138.2 on the QBR. That is absolutely going to get it done. As now the Bucs, looks like the Rams getting them off the field here. Mm-hmm. Aaron Donald and the boys. This defense, look, they're for real. I know they let Chicago kind of run on them a little bit in the first week, but this is where the big boys show up, and Aaron Donald absolutely showing up here. He got a sack on Tom Brady in the first half and got a tackle for loss there on that screen pass. No fooling Aaron Donald. There's a reason why this dude was the defensive player of the year.
And you just had the boat race alert, and Denver just picked off the rookie. So Denver looking like they're going to be poised to pitch a shutout against the Jets today. You know, it's interesting because Seattle had that early lead against Minnesota. Let's go back out to Tank Williams now, watching this game closely for us. Tank, can you give a read on what we might be able to expect if you're an in-game wager? Because I'm kind of confused. It feels like every time I want to say Minnesota's primed to finally win their first game, we know what they've done in the first 2 weeks.
I mean, I think we're still trying to figure out both of these teams' identity. Like, after the Seattle Seahawks played the Indianapolis Colts, in week one, I was like, okay, the Seattle defense has improved. And you even thought that, you know, through the first half against Tennessee, but now they look like the same old Seahawks defense that we saw last year, where they were just getting run through on every, you know, week on a weekly basis by opposing teams. And so it's looking similar to that, to where whatever Minnesota wants to do in the passing game, they can't cover these guys man to man, and they can't stop them in the run game. And so I think this is going to be a pivotal drive for Minnesota right here, to try to get the ball in the end zone. If they can go up 31-17, it's going to be tough sledding for Seattle trying to make a comeback here, because that defense can't stop water right now.
Yeah, right now, into the fourth quarter, as you mentioned, Tank, and the Vikings prime for more points. But again, just with the Vikings, there's certain teams that just feel like they're snake bit.
Mm-hmm.
So every time it looks like they've got victory, somehow the jaws of defeat seem to snatch it away from them. Let's see if KC8 and company can get this done. Third and four right now. This is, to Tank's point, yes, of course, you'd like to get the three and get the two-possession lead. But, boy, 14 feels a whole lot better than 10.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that your stat advantage in this half, 120 yards for the Vikings, only 7 for the wow. Seahawks. You want to finish this off. I mean, you'll take the three, but at 7, you might darn near end the game, even though there's still about 13 and a half minutes to play. By the way, we did have points in Allegiant Stadium. Dolphins have to settle for three. Big sack by Jefferson, Max Crosby with the pressure. That's kind of the story of the game, Dave. For those who have been watching this Dolphins-Raiders game closely, Raiders are better on both sides of the ball. Yes. On the line. Their offensive line, I mentioned about how good and incognito, also Alex Leatherwood has been out. So their offensive line have been pushing them around. Their defensive line, they've got some pass rushers there with Crosby, with Ngakoue, with Carl Nassib. Quentin Jefferson gets credit for that sack. So now 25-17. Raiders now -8.5 plus $1.50, 48.5 on the in-game total, 9 minutes left to go. So Miami doesn't get inside that number. They have to settle for three, and Minnesota doing the same thing right now.
All right, Minnesota's going to get that 3 points, so they have that 10-point lead, 27-17 right now, about 13 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Very quickly to that end about the Raider defense. There are coordinators in the league that I believe are cut out to be coordinators.
Yeah, and Gus Bradley and are might difference be, makers.
I think Dan Quinn in Dallas, and you're seeing the change a little bit in that Cowboy defense. I think it's going to get better as the year goes on. Gus Bradley, the way he's scheming this up for the Raiders, you can see it. It's paying dividends through 3 weeks so far in the season.
And it also helps when you scheme it up when your front four can get some pressure.
Absolutely.
And that's what they are doing. We saw it against the Ravens. I think that's what won them the game. Of course, Nassib with that strip on Lamar. Max Crosby had a couple sacks. And look, offensive line play in this league, I think at least league-wide and macro sense, has really declined over the last several years. And you get rushers off the edge and you get pressure, you can give offensive lines a lot of problem in this league, and the Raiders certainly doing just that.
No question about it. That's why I always think it's very interesting. You have to look at schemes, and again, not trying to dump on Mike Nolan down there in Dallas, but guys were playing out of position last year. Paul Gunther, the same thing with the Raiders. So this year, when you have guys that seem to fit, they can fit the personnel to their scheme. That's what's happening with Gus Bradley, and so far, to a small degree, with Dan Quinn down in Dallas. Rams looking for the knockout blow against the defending champs. They're inside the Buccaneers, about the 35-yard line of Tampa right now, about 4 minutes ago in the third quarter. Still a lot of football to be played there, but the Rams with the 2-touchdown lead and looking for more. We'll tell you if they can get more points when you come back with us. It is the Green Zone right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Sign up today at BetMGM and enjoy the thrill of victory on your very first bet. The King of Sportsbooks welcomes you to Showtime with the Lock of the Year. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any team. And if either team scores a touchdown, you're going to win $200 in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use the bonus code VSiN200 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use the bonus code VSiN200 to win $200 in free bets if any team simply scores a touchdown. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Wes Reynolds, Dave Ross with you here on the Green Zone. And we did see Miami finally put some offensive points on the board. So for that update, let's go back out to Amber Dixon. She is live from the South Point studio. Amber, signs of life for the Fighting Fish?
Well, gosh, there must be a delay on my TV because I still see 25-17, the Raiders.
Well, with that field goal, right? They finally got that field goal in the last possession.
Okay, yeah, you're right about that. And so I was thinking the Raiders defense was able to keep them to just a field goal. Raiders, a quick three and out for them on offense. They then punt the ball. 25-17, as I mentioned. So I'm thinking about the total, and I think it closed at 45.
Oh,
I hate to be one of those people that talks about their bet that they won only after they made it. And to be fair, I haven't won quite yet. But earlier in the week, I heard that the Sharps were hammering the under in this game because they thought maybe Derek Carr wasn't extremely healthy. They thought that Jacoby Brissett might not be a good backup to come in for Tua Tagovailoa, but I got the total at 43.5, so I'm just 2 points away from it. You guys think I might get it with 6 minutes and 6 seconds left?
Well, Amber, you might have just gotten a big break because it looked like the Raiders had stopped the fish here, but I think we're going to get a roughing the quarterback call, Amber, and I know you're on a slight delay from us. And yeah. I do believe that's going to extend this drive. So, Amber.
Yeah, Max Crosby not very happy here. At first, I thought it was a holding penalty, and he certainly thought he was held.
Roughing the passer.
Jacoby Brissett drifts to the left here and just heaves it down the field. Max Crosby hits him after. That is going to be an easy 15-yard penalty there. Ball was well out. Max Crosby hits him right on the back. That's what the Raiders do, even in Las Vegas, whether it's in Los Angeles or Oakland or Las Vegas. Raiders get penalties in bad times.
And I think Amber has life for her over because, again, they would have had to punt the football away. You know the Raiders aren't exactly looking for points here. They're looking for time to go off the clock. So 6 minutes and 6 seconds to go. They're around midfield here for the Fighting Fish. Again, down 8. So a lot of things in play here. If you back the Raiders money line like I did, or you gave the 3.5 with the Raiders, you're thinking, oh, come on. How do you have that penalty at that situation?
Right.
You know, obviously, if the Fighting Fish can come down and score, they're going to go for 2. That would put the total over. Again, everything is in play.
And I like Max Crosby, but really no reason to make that hit there. By the way, Raiders -7.5, even money at BetMGM, 48.5, total juice to the under at -155. Dolphins now just inside Raiders territory about under 6 minutes ago.
And you got to think they're in 4-down territory at this point going forward with 5.5 to play here. They're actually running the ball here, so it's going to be about a 3rd-and-1 for the Fish. We're going to keep an eye on that, but also going to keep an eye on what's going on with the game of the day. Tom Brady trying to get his Bucs back in it. Let's go back out to Frank Hanrahan. And Frank, the points are coming, but not as many points as the Bucs wanted on that last drive.
Yeah, they came up short, had first and goal, had to settle for a field goal. So both teams trading feels 31-17 now, about a minute left in the third quarter. So, you know, we're harping on that scoreless first quarter, but we knew the points were coming. It was a toss-up game, and right now the Rams in control. Thanks to Matt Stafford's fantastic play at quarterback. 4 touchdown throws. He had a big 75-yard bomb to DeSean Jackson. But, yeah, to your point about that last drive, the Bucs coming up empty. Rob Gronkowski left the game, was checked. And he was running a little gingerly on that route when Brady tried to hook up with him on 3rd down. That didn't work out. So Gronkowski's up, but still only a 2-touchdown deficit as we head to the fourth quarter, late third quarter, under a minute left with the Rams up by 2 touchdowns. And that total obviously hanging there at 48 points right now. Still need a little more to get over. but this is what we expected.
Frank mentioned that scoreless first quarter, 27 points and counting, probably going to end the third quarter before we get any more points. But right now, the in-game total, 63.5, slightly juicy under at minus 120 at BetMGM. Rams -12.5 and do have a fresh set of downs.
You know, we had a boat race situation. You had a great hat on, and I don't think anything's changed from that situation. We're going to go back out one more time to Eric Edholm. Eric, let's put a bow on this. I know it's not done officially, but it is done officially, right?
Pretty much. Jets have one timeout left. It's 23-0 that they're trailing right now to the Broncos, just under the two-minute warning. So pretty much academic at this point. No huge performances for the Broncos offensively. Tim Patrick, a nice day. Bridgewater, another effective day. But really, as we've said all along, the defense giving a hard time to Zach Wilson and the Jets. Jets are going to finish up with about 135 yards of offense, less than 10 first downs, wow, 5 sacks. It hasn't been pretty. So it's looking like the first Denver shutout since 2017, which was 23-0 to the Jets. So we're going to have a little synchronicity here today, it appears, barring something crazy happening in the last moment or so.
Deja vu all over again. Again, follow Eric Edholm as I do at Eric_Edholm. Does great work for Yahoo Sports.
And why are the Jets taking timeouts here down 23-0? And I like Robert Saleh, but I don't know if this is a pride thing or if it's like, okay, we want to get more reps. It's 3rd and 3 Denver at the Jets 11-yard line now. Mm. Third timeout taken at the 151 mark. So not sure what he's doing here, but 23-0, this game is essentially over. We'll see if Denver, all of a sudden, they say, okay, you want to take timeouts? We're going to tack another on. But meanwhile, let's go to Allegiant Stadium. Big measurement here. Dolphins do go for it. 4th and 1. And he is going to be ruled short. He's a couple chain lengths short. So Raiders are going to take over 1st and 10 at their own 43, 25-17. Derek Carr and the offense coming back on the field. By the way, Dolphins do have 3 timeouts left. Raiders with none, but they don't want the clock to stop. No. So Dolphins probably going to have to make their stand right here. Jacoby Brissett tried to run up the middle, and usually a very good quarterback sneaker, by the way. I saw it in Indianapolis, also in New England.
Don't like the call.
Yeah.
I like it at the goal line. They're the quarterback sneak.
Maybe only Tom Brady can do it.
Well, see, again, I don't mind it around the goal line. Again, if you know who your quarterback is, but I see this happen all the time on 4th and short, 4th and 1, what have you. Just kind of outside of the context of the goal line, and it does, yes, percentage-wise, it should work. I understand that. But when it doesn't work, I go, that's the best play you could call?
Well, I mean, look, you know how coaches are. They're going to challenge this offensive line. It's like, okay, this guy was a very good quarterback sneaker in Indianapolis when he was the starter and usually was able to get that first down, whether it was near the goal line or any part of the field, wasn't able to do so there. And that's what I go back to. Raiders have won this at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. So that's who absolutely deserves credit for this victory.
Very quickly, to your point about taking the timeouts for Robert Saleh and the Jets. So now the Broncos have a 4th down. There's 1.5 minutes and the clock is ticking. The Jets are out of timeouts. Do you kick the field goal? You're at the 13-yard line. It's a chippy field goal. So to the point that you made, if the Jets haven't quit, should the Broncos quit?
Hey, you know, you're kind of seeing that right now. I think it was in the Arizona-Oregon game last night because I was like, Oregon is another team that doesn't take knees. Nobody takes knees at the end of college games anymore. But Arizona was still taking timeouts and trying to kick a field goal. I think they were down like 23, trying to make it 20. Like in the final minute, Oregon kept running plays. So now it looks like Denver, I do believe, I think they might have gotten that first down anyway.
Well, 4th and 9, so they took the penalty. I think they let the clock run out.
Yeah.
Again, this is an interesting, like, what's the unwritten rule here of football? So Robert Saleh's taking timeouts. So is Vic Fangio not supposed to try? Because Robert Saleh's still trying.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of like, all right, if you're not calling timeouts, we're just going to take knees. And we all go home. It's 23-0. It's not going to affect any total, right? We know that. But Saleh's making a point to his team that now we're not quitting. I just wonder, guess what? Vic Fangio is going to kick a field goal.
And they're going to send McManus out there to get him to go 4 for 4. Ooh. That would make it 26-0. So, you know, Vic Fangio is not running it up here, I think,
right? You call timeouts.
That field goal is, by the way, good. So now 26-0, about 1:04 left to go. Actually, just 1 minute solid left to go in the entire game. So Jets going to get one more crack, see if they can get points. I don't think it's probably going to happen for them, though.
No, and again, this is just kind of semantics. We understand that. But some people are going to say, well, why didn't you just, you know, run it into the line on 4th down? You're at the 10-yard line. The game's over. Why kick the field goal? I think it's now Vic Fangio saying, okay, if you're going to keep playing, we're going to keep playing. We'll play whatever rules you want to play by. You want to quit, then we'll take a knee.
Yes.
But if you're going to call timeouts, we're going to keep scoring points. That's what the Broncos just did. I remember Greg Schiano did this when he was the head coach at Tampa Bay. It ruffled feathers. You know, he wouldn't quit, that sort of thing. The other guy's, hey, you're a pro. This isn't college. Very interesting scenario there. Hey, Bucks trying to get back in this thing. We'll see if they can do it. And the Vikings still leading the Seahawks. Come on back. It's the Green Zone right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.